Then he said, the Lord your God is testing you. I thought, God, you're testing me? Is that what he says? The Lord your God is testing you to see if you love him with all your heart and soul. Or are you willing to share your love for him with some other god? Do you know how many people's going to fall to this? Maybe millions. In the last days, there will come a great falling away. A great falling away. People are going to turn their back on the living God. I can't even fathom that. But God is testing the church to see who is that pure, holy bunch that wants to serve only him. It's kind of like a woman when she's got a husband and she releases him every morning to go to work. And he goes out into the world. I can remember years ago when I was in Minneapolis and I stayed at the Marriott Hotel. I've told this story before. But I mean, at that time the hotel was a big scattered out hotel. And so I had to drive around the back. I got out of my car and started to the room, and it was already dark. And I'm walking up to my room, and I mean, there was a knockout, beautiful, probably 30, 35-year-old woman. I mean, she couldn't have been no more beautiful. You couldn't have farmed her no more beautiful. This woman had everything in the right place together. She was an awesome woman. I mean, you don't see many women like this. But she was dressed to show every feature of her body. She was what they call one of those 38, 24, 38s or whatever you call them, you know. I mean, she was beautiful. I mean, you couldn't help but look at her. She was so attractive. And her hair and everything. She walked right up to me. Sir, are you staying in the hotel? I said, well, yes, young lady, I am. I said, can I help you? She said, well, no, but I thought I'd like to know what room you're in. And I looked at her dress there, and I said, I don't see you have a Marriott name tag. I said, do you work for Marriott? She says, well, no. I said, well, then why do you want to know what room I'm in? She said, I thought after you got settled in, you might like a little entertainment. I said, ma'am, let me tell you about my Jesus. She said, oh, you're one of them kind. I said, yes, ma'am, I'm one of them kind. And she walked off. I thought to myself, now what was that? A what? A test. And God tested me to find out what I'm made out of if I'm going to be pure and holy to the woman that he gave me. You know, at that time, if you'd have told me that God was testing me, I'd said, there ain't no way God would ever do nothing like that to me. But he tests us, doesn't he? He tests us to find out, are we going to serve him? In other words, whenever that little voice comes and say, you know, you don't need to go to church this Sunday. You know, you worked hard all week. You know, you ain't got time to go to church. And you listen. And you fail your tests. And God will try his best over the next year or two or three or five to get your attention, to get you back in church because you've been deceived and you're out. And if you don't get back in, then sickness and pain begin to hit you. And then all of a sudden when you get tired of being sick and in pain, and then you get to where you can't be at work, then you think, okay, I'll go to church. He said, good, I got your attention. And you go to church and you get prayed for. It's just like that little girl that I prayed for that day that came up here. She was living with a boy. And I told her she had to quit living with that boy because that's what was bringing all of her sickness upon her. She said, sir, I cannot believe that my sickness and all my problems is because I'm living with a boy I'm not married to. I said, trust me, honey, that's your problem. She said, are you telling me that if I repent to God and tell him I'm sorry and I quit sleeping with this boy and I start serving God, that you'll pray for me and he'll heal me? I said, I guarantee he will. And she repented that day. I prayed for her. 3 weeks later, some of you were here. You were here 3 weeks later when she came back, come up here crying. She said, I never have not had a pain or a problem since I left here that Sunday when Thurman prayed for me. But she said, I've not slept with that boy out of wedlock either. Now, see, people don't understand that God is judging that sin. So anyway, serve only the Lord your God and fear Him alone. Obey His commands, listen to His voice, and cling to Him. Who are we supposed to serve? The Lord God with His Son, Jesus Christ, and our Holy Spirit. There is to be no other gods before us. We are to put Him first. All right, now 5 and 6. Let's go on a little further here. We're going to go. In fact, I think we'll read all of all chapter 13. The false prophets or dreamers who tried to lead you astray must be put to death, for they encourage rebellion against the Lord your God. Now, wait a minute. Who is it moved on them guys' heart to cause them to do this? The Lord. See, they failed too, didn't they? In other words, He was testing not only us through them, but He was testing them too. Somebody said, well, this is not fair. Last time I checked, there ain't nothing in the kingdom fair. Amen. Do you know that God has never come and asked me how I thought He ought to do something? He's never confided it. Has He, you, Keith? He always tells me what to do. He happens to be the boss, not you and me, right? He knows. He has all the answers. So then He says, you must execute them to remove the evil from among you. You know, I know I don't like the Old Testament ways, but it had very few second offenders. Y'all see where I'm coming from? If you got a prophet that's 70 years old in the church and he's still alive and well in the Old Testament, you can better figure he's a pretty good one. You know? Now then, if he was 40 years old and he told something and it didn't work out just right, they stuck him out and stoned him and killed him. And it's over. He ain't going to get another chance, is he? That's just the way God did it. Then He says, you remove evil from among you. Then He says in verse 6, this is where it really gets sticky. Really gets sticky. Suppose your brother, your son, your daughter, or your beloved wife, or your closest friend comes to you to secretly say, let us go worship other gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known. In other words, we're going to have a meeting downtown Dallas tonight, and we know it's an occult organization, but let's go down there and let's worship with them. Then He said, let's see what if these do. They might suggest that you worship the gods of people who live nearby or who come from the ends of the earth. If they do this, do not give in or listen or have no pity. Do not spare or protect them. You must put them to death. He's talking about your wife, your son, your best friend. Are you getting the picture that it's extremely important that you worship the living God only? Amen. You think that's what He's trying to tell us? There is no God besides me. Now, why in the world would it be that important that we worship and praise the one and only true God? What's going to happen to us when we die if we don't? We're going to a terrible place. Does He want us to go to that place? No, He does not. You must put them to death. You must be the one to initiate the execution. Then all the people must join in the death of this person that's trying to get you to worship some other god, even if it was your son, your wife, your best friend, or whatever. God's tough, isn't He? I mean, He's tough. Stone the guilty ones to death because they have tried to draw you away from the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of slavery. If anybody tries to entice you to go do something that's not of God, you need to tell them, you're on dangerous ground, son. You're on really dangerous ground. You're trying to get me to get out of church. You're trying to get me to go down and have ice cream at Brahms with you tonight instead of going to the church service. I believe I'll pass on the ice cream. Amen. Or we'll get it tomorrow or something. But I'm going to church tonight, or today. I'm going to church. I'm going to put Jesus first. I'm going to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there ain't nobody going to steal that joy from me. Because if they steal that joy from you, the Lord says they are deceiving you and they are to die. Well, do you think today he might kill them for you? Yes, he might just do that. He's still in the business, isn't he? Back in the days of the old covenant, he used people to do this. Today he uses demons to get this done. Why do you think people, or there will be many people that will suffer immensely from what they will do through this Chrislam thing? All these churches. You know, of course, something else I thought when I think about Chrislam, I think about the tens of thousands of people, Obama, Muslims, that he brought to Minnesota, I believe it was, Mississippi, let's see, was it Minnesota? Is that the state where he brought those?
Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. He brought tens of thousands of Muslims to Michigan and put them up there. And down there, when you call the welfare department up there, they say, if you need English, press 1. If you need Spanish, press 2. And if you're Arabic, press 3. Another 85,000? And these people are all signing up on welfare, and guess who's paying their way?
We are.
Is it? I think it's time, you know, it might not be such a bad deal that if we kind of go back to the Old Testament way for a while. You know, those people that are trying to lead us astray, maybe everybody don't believe in Jesus. According to the Old Testament, if they didn't believe in Jesus, what should have happened to them? Stoned and left for dead. I mean, stoned and killed them, burned them, get rid of them. I thought, wow, boy, that's cruel, isn't it? But I didn't write this book, did I? No, I didn't. Of course, I understand under the New Testament, that's not the, we're supposed to love our enemy and we're supposed to pray for them. So we obviously got lots of praying to do. Because we're going to have to do something that's going to change this. And the Holy Spirit's the only one I know can change it under the new covenant. And he's only going to do it because of our prayers.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Lord, This is Beyond Anything I Can Imagine, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.